If you're able, physically able, will you stand with us? And anytime as we are singing and worshiping, you are free to remain standing. You are free to sit back down. We're just going to take a few moments and focus our hearts and our attentions and our mind. And sometimes, you know, at Christmas time, we sing carols and they're a little unfamiliar because we only sing them once a year. So we're going to put the lyrics on the screen and hopefully you all just sing like the heavenly choirs that were in the skies the night announcing Jesus's birth. Amen. Amen.
nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. All winged angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born.
Seat. We're just going to share one more song. We wanted to share this song. The name of the song is O Night Divine. And when I heard the theme, I just thought maybe this would be appropriate. And really the inspiration came from, I was thinking about Christmas, like big Christmas, you know, just, wow, Jesus came as a man and a baby. And it can seem so like removed sometimes. And I was pondering it, and the Lord spoke so clearly to me, and he was like, no, Jesus came for you, Rachel. And you put your name in that. And yes, God so loved the world. He does. And he did come for the world, but he also came for you as an individual and me as an individual. And so really the lyrics of the song just sort of encompass what an amazing, amazing thing that it is that a king, the King of Kings, would lower himself for me and for you. And really, when we think of Christmas and the lights and the carols and the presents and even the commercialized parts of Christmas, like I was thinking, like even those are redeemed because all points to the King of Kings. even if that's not the intention. So I wove a couple carols in here as well. So the words will be on the screen. As soon as you guys catch on, we'd love you to sing along.
Hope ahead.
rejoices. The Savior comes again. He comes again.
Amen. Lord, we are so looking forward to that day when we see you face to face. We thank you for the first coming, Lord. We thank you that you became flesh and that you dwell among us even now. And we so look forward to the day that you will come again. What hope, what joy, what peace have we who believe in that and who believe in you and have placed our trust and our faith in you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, go before your word. Let it pierce our hearts. Let it change us, Lord. Let us walk away different from the women that we walked in this room. And everybody said together, amen.
And thank you, ladies. So beautiful. I don't know about you, but when we sing together and all of our voices are being just in unison, it just gives me chills. It's just so beautiful. So thank you so much, ladies. Well, our speaker tonight is known and loved by so many of us here in the room. She is a faithful servant of the Lord, leading the ladies of Calvary Vista and so many others to Jesus for 30 years. She's been married to Pastor Rob for 39 years. She has 3 amazing children and 5 precious grandchildren. And yeah, you can clap for that. That's a long time, 39 years. And she is just such a gifted teacher of the word. I just know that she has such a heart for God's children and especially his daughters. And so we will be blessed to receive what she has prepared for us tonight. Would you please help me welcome Denise Salvato.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. Woo, those lights are bright. Oh, it's so good to see all of you. It's just such a joy to be here, celebrate Christmas together, and to stand here and to share a Christmas message with you. And the theme for this event has actually been stirring in my heart for quite some time, and I've really enjoyed just digging into the Word and thinking about this divine exchange, and then, you know, I love music, so I'm like making a playlist, my divine exchange playlist, and searching for songs that talk about it, and it's just been so fun, and just being absorbed in that, and worshiping the Lord in it, and so my heart is very full. And one thing I came to see when I was preparing this message is that there's this like thread of divinity that runs through the Christmas story and really beyond that. And as the girls just sang so beautifully, it truly was a divine night, the night that Jesus came and was born. And I love that line that Rachel says, the night he came to save, you know, God's divine gift. It's the best Christmas gift ever, right? It's like wrapped up in John 3:16. And think about it. That is the most famous verse in the entire world. It's John 3:16. It's the most quoted. It's the most well-known. You see it like even in sports and things, everybody's wearing that and flashing it. Praise the Lord, right? That shows the power of the gospel message and the good news. And actually, let's say it together. Let's say together John 3:16. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That in and of itself is astounding, isn't it? I mean, really. But then there's still more to the divinity story. There's more that can be unfolded in this. And because through this divine gift, we also have, ladies, a divine exchange that takes place for everyone who believes. And then on top of that, we're given this new divine nature. It's birthed inside of everyone who receives the Lord into their heart. And then on top of that, there's like this divine power that's given to everyone to walk in And then on top of that, we have this divine life of abundance that we're to live in and to experience. Jesus says, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. And so it's such a beautiful picture. And I know we've been prayed over for this message. And it really is my heart to just take our eyes and just focus in and give this clear picture of the divine exchange that takes place for it. And really that we would just maybe like, I don't know, like a fresh just understanding of God's love for us, and that we would be in awe, right? The wonder of it all, that we wouldn't get tired of, oh, it's just another Christmas and happy birthday, Jesus, but really what this means for you and for me, and capture the essence that humanity met divinity in a glorious exchange. Amen. So that's what we're going to focus on tonight. You know, during the Christmas season, there are a lot of exchanges that take place. And I love that we did a gift ornament exchange. We've never tried that before. And that was super fun. I don't know about you, but just to walk around and go, okay, Lord, who do you want? Who do you want me to go to? And it's like, it was the sweetest little encounter that I had. And it was just a God thing. And I hope you all had that experience too. But I loved that. And okay, I should have brought my ornament up. It was so cute. What did it say, Lisa? Just a girl who loves Jesus. I was like, this is not going to just stay on my Christmas tree. I'm going to like hang that up year round. I'm just a girl who loves Jesus. I loved it. It was so cute. But the giving and the receiving is super fun. Actually, there's a group of girls, I'm not going to mention you by name, but they have been meeting for over 20 years and having a gift ornament exchange. Can you even imagine? You know, so they come with their 10 or 12, you know, ornaments that they made that are all the same. And then they come home with 10 or 12, like, different ones, all for their treats. So I was doing the math. I'm like, okay, that's like over 240 ornaments. Like, I'd like to see their tree. It's like sagging. It's like just trying to hold on for dear life. I'm like, those girls, they're serious ornament exchangers. And then, of course, we have our, you know, yummy Christmas cookie exchanges. It's kind of an old-fashioned thing, I feel like. You don't see that happen as much. But I remember years where I just couldn't wait to get someone else's recipe to try. You know, it was just super fun and hear their story and taste their treats and give them my treats. And I loved it that we had the cookie bar. And I will say, for those of you who took the time and you baked for us, like maybe like, you know, sneak back there at the end and you have the liberty to take some cookies home, like do a little cookie exchange. You gave, I think you should receive, right? So we'll let you enjoy that. But I think the most popular exchange during Christmas would be the gift exchange, okay? So now my kids are all adults having children of their own, and so the Christmas budget diminishes very quickly, right? So years ago, all of us adults decided it was time to like simplify the gift giving by having this gift exchange between us. How many of you do that in your families? Okay, not as many as I thought. Okay, that's okay. Well, it's actually really fun. And, you know, you put the names in the basket and you draw the names. It's supposed to be a surprise, you know, who you have. But the key to the gift exchange is that you have to set a certain amount that can be spent, right? So that it's fair, you know? Like that it's of the same value, you know? You don't want one person to get something from the Dollar Tree and the other one from Macy's. Like, that wouldn't work. So anyway, so you set like this amount, like $25 or whatever. It's the same value in price so that it's fair. The problem is I am not a good shopper at all. I'm not creative. It really stresses me out. And I want the person whose name I drew like to love their gift, you know? Do they like it? Do they have room for it? Will they use it? You know, I don't want to find it at my favorite thrift store the following year or up in the attic in a box. So I asked everyone, okay, create for me a wish list, like 3 or 4 or 5 wish list things. You're only going to get one, but give me a list. But the key is I want the link. Like, I want to know the exact brand, the size, the color, like just give me the link so that I can just go. I choose what I like. Isn't it amazing? You just click the button. It shows up at your door. You wrap it. You put it under the tree. Ta-da. It's awesome. I love it because I want my person to be happy and blessed. And I want to find like the most perfect gift that I possibly can. Or at least close to perfection, right? But girls, there's only one who gives good and perfect gifts. And we know from James 1:17, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, he never changes. He continues to be a good giver. The moon and the stars and the sun cast a shadow because they move. God does not cast a shadow. There's nothing in him that changes. He's good, and he's the giver of good things, always, always. And the greatest display of this was the gift of his son. And then he gave him, think about this, he gave Jesus, holy, righteous, pure, lovely Jesus. He gave him in exchange for us, right? Sinful, broken, and needy people. Now, we would look at that and say, that is not a fair exchange for God, right? We can't be of that much value or worth to God. But God would say differently. He would say differently. Because you guys, this is no ordinary exchange. It is divine. It's not of this world. It's heavenly. And God's ways are higher than ours. The way he thinks, the way he acts is far beyond what we can even fathom or understand. And he proved that by redeeming us with the crimson blood of Jesus Christ. And when I saw this beautiful red bow here, I couldn't not picture this being like the just a vision, a picture of just that blood of Jesus that just flows freely down upon us. It's really a beautiful thing. And Jesus willingly offered himself for you and for me. And as we consider this divine exchange in Christ, I want you to make it personal. I want you to put yourself into the story. Let's take a few minutes and consider some of what it looks like in this divine exchange with Jesus. First, Jesus was despised and rejected so that we might be accepted. Who doesn't want to be accepted? Hallelujah. Jesus bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows so that we might be comforted. Jesus was wounded so that we might be healed. Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted so that we might be free. Hallelujah. Jesus was made a curse when he hung on that tree that we might receive a blessing. Jesus was punished so that we might be forgiven. Jesus bore our shame so that we might share in his glory. Jesus endured poverty that we might have his abundance. Jesus tasted death so that we might have eternal life. And Jesus was made sin that we might be made righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. What a glorious, glorious exchange. And though our redemption cost Jesus everything, it's free. It's a free gift to us, to the world. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We're just invited to believe it and to receive it. And not only receive it, but then enter into this right relationship with the greatest gift giver of all. We're made righteous. The Bible refers to this as being covered or clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Look around at each other just for a moment and look how beautiful you are, all dressed up. You really are beautiful tonight, radiant, I would say. Well, imagine for a moment if we could actually see one another clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Can you imagine? Like radiant, white, glowing, like breathtaking is what that would look like. And that's how God sees every one of us who have received the gift of his son into our lives. And we say, how is that possible? Because we can't fathom it. We look at one another. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we're like, that's not what I see. I don't see that. I see my sin. I see my failure. I know my struggles. And I know I'm saved, and I know it's this process of being sanctified and changed into the likeness of Christ, and I want it so much to do it well, but it's a lifetime journey for all of us. And so we can tend to see the bad in ourselves, right? And can I just say a word to you to encourage you to try to see yourself more often through the eyes of the one who loves you, that he sees you righteous, beautiful, radiant, holy, because he sees you in his son. It's amazing. Romans 3:23-25 in the New Living Testament says, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone." Say everyone. Everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I love that. Everyone, no matter who we are, as long as we believe. "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood." And the New King James says, "It is to all and it's on all who believe." And someone in this room needs to believe that, like receive it and actually believe it tonight. It's a perfect gift. And guess what? It's a perfect fit. And what woman doesn't like a perfect fit, right? With the clothes they wear. So early on in my marriage, Rob loved to buy me clothes for Christmas. So he's like the shopper in our marriage. I am not. He gets it from his mom right there in the second row. Hi, Mom. And he would spend so much time going and looking for the perfect gift for me of clothes. And what's so interesting is, to be quite honest, when I would open the gift, often it wouldn't have been something I would have chosen for myself, and maybe not the color or the style, but I am not kidding you. I would get the most compliments when I would wear the things he would buy for me. So go figure, right? But it was sweet, and I knew it took him time and effort. This was before online shopping, you know. This is, you know, and he would get, my girls would attest, he would get so excited for me to open up the gift. But fast forward 30 years, after 3 kids, menopause and aging, the last thing I want from my husband are clothes. Nothing fits me right anymore. I'm not the same size. I'm not the same style. And I keep reminding him, I am not forever 21. And there were a few years in there where I was really getting frustrated because he kept trying. And it would put pressure on me because I wanted to like it, right? And so we finally came to an agreement that he would stop buying me clothes so that I could stop exchanging them. Give me the money. Let me go. I tell you, I'm not kidding. We'll go somewhere. He like follows me around. He like, when I'm like, can you go? Can I just shop on my own? Like, he's just funny. Anyways, but the robes of righteousness that God clothes you and me with, they are a perfect fit. And they're beautiful, okay? They're beautiful for God to behold. But there's more to the story, not only a divine exchange, but we've been given a divine nature and the divine power to live it. This just blows me away. 2 Peter 1:3-4. "By his divine power, God has given us everything, say everything, everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. And pay attention to this. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. For all of you who know me well, or you've sat under my teaching for years, I probably will sound like a broken record, but this is my favorite, well, one of my favorite. How can you ever have a favorite verse? But one of my favorite portions of scripture, and it's actually this entire chapter. And if you are not familiar with 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to encourage you to start reading that and going through that and let God speak to your heart in that. But it's my favorite. I love it. And you know, I go back to this portion of scripture over and over again for practical help and encouragement when I fail and I falter, because I do a lot. And when that clamoring noise in my head keeps telling me I can't, Denise, you can't do it right. Denise, you can't say it right. Denise, you can't fix it right. You can't be right. That plays over and over. Because I'm trying to please the Lord. I want to reflect him to others. I want that transformation in my life, whether it was in the years of my marriage, still in my marriage, raising my children, when I needed God so desperately, because I always felt like I couldn't, in ministry, whatever the trial and the testings of my faith, these verses reminded me that everything I need for life and godliness, my Father has it. And girls, I'm going to guess that that same broken record plays in your mind that does in mine. I don't think I'm any different than you, or that you're any different than me. You need to be reminded that everything you need for life and godliness, your Father has it. It's at your disposal. Every great and precious promise is yours. Let's just talk about a few of those for a moment. Salvation. The promise of forgiveness and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. That's huge. It takes all that weight of guilt and shame off of us. The promise of the Holy Spirit, who guides and comforts and empowers us. But not only that, he's our counselor. He gives us wisdom and instruction. He's going to convict us. He's going to help us. Don't you need a helper? Like, we need help every day. We need him, and he's there. How about the promise of an abundant life? And was it filled with joy and peace and purpose? And who doesn't want that? Think back in your life before Christ and what that was like compared to now in him, and the hope and the joy and the peace that is now yours. It's beautiful. How about the promise that God will provide for our needs and take care of us? There's so many that live just day by day, just having to trust and rely on God. You promised that you'll be my provision, that you'll make a way. And strength, the promise that God will give us strength and help us in our weakness. Hallelujah. What's crazy about that one is it goes on to say, Paul tells us that we're actually to boast in our weakness, right? Because that's when the strength of God is made, it's perfected in us. That's when people actually see it, because it's something so supernatural that comes out of us that's not of ourselves. And he gets the glory. It's beautiful. How about the promise that we can overcome trials and temptations through Christ? We all are tempted. We all go through trials. Oh, we need the promises of God that he's there, that he will help us. He'll make a way of escape. How about the promise that God has a plan and a future for us, even in the difficult times? And girls, these are just a few of the precious promises. The word is filled with thousands of promises from God. Now, listen, some of them are unconditional, meaning they depend solely on God's will and his character, and that he said it. And if he said it, then he'll do it. Other promises are conditional. We have to be partakers in it. It requires specific action from us that we're going to trust him, we're going to believe him, we're going to obey him, we're going to surrender to him in order to experience that promise. But all the promises of God are exceedingly great and precious promises. I like the Amplified, if I can say it, it's one of those jarbly words for me. It says, gifts of inexpressible value. I like that. So back in the day, our church had a school called Calvary Christian School. It was such a blessing to have that. And my kids, in my opinion, were blessed to be able to go to that school and to have that experience. It was awesome. But at Christmas time, they had what they called the Magi Shop. And the kids loved this because they got to go and feel grown up. And one day they get to go and they get to shop for their siblings and for their parents and their grandparents. And it was super fun. So they would get to bring in their money and they'd pick out their own gift and they'd bring it home. It would be gift wrapped by little helpers at the school. And then they'd put it under the tree and they could not wait for Christmas when we would open up these presents. I remember how excited my kids were about this. And it was just the sweetest thing ever. Now, what I found humorous about this Magi Shop was that from an adult perspective, this was just one big junk exchange. Okay? Because prior to the shopping day, we were asked to donate items that we didn't want anymore or we didn't need. And we were supposed to be like discreet about it, right? So you go through the house and you meander through things and you find things that maybe some other, you know, would make sweet little gifts for these kids. It could be toys and men's ties and kitchen things. I mean, anything and everything that would maybe make a nice little gift, right? So we parents would gather up these items. We'd drop them off at the shop for the children to buy gifts for their families. You know that saying, one man's junk is another man's treasure. It's true. It's all about perspective. Well, I remember this one year opening up a gift from one of my daughters. I can't remember which one. Maybe they remember. I don't know. But so they're excited. And I open it and lo and behold... It was a gift I donated. Wasn't I surprised? Oh, what a surprise, I said. This is just amazing. I've always wanted one of these. They had no idea, but they knew their mom. They knew what I liked. So it was so cute. It was literally the gift that keeps on giving. But no matter what any of my three children ever gave me, I treasured every gift. Why? Because it was from my kids, right? It was from the heart of my kids. They took the time to think, what would mommy like? What would bless mommy? They spent their money on it. Well, my money on it. Well, actually, Rob's money on it. That's beside the point. I treasured it. It was, what was the word? It was an inexpressible value to me. And God's promises, girls, should be inexpressible value to you because they're from his heart and they're out of love and they will enable you to participate in the divine life. And that's why he's given you the gift of his Holy Spirit living inside of you. He's always there. He is your helper for everything you need day in, day out, and all of your highs and all of your lows, all of the trials that go on in this world. Because look, this world is hard. There's a lot that we have to go through. Every temptation you have, every fear, every anxiety, every doubt, every discouragement, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love you. When you think about it, he really is the divine gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving more. And did you know that Jesus loves to make daily exchanges with you? He is all about the daily exchange. He says, here, give me that. Take this. That's what he's all about. If you think about it, all through the word, what is he doing? He's always calling us to him. He's always wooing us. Come, come, seek me. Like he wants us to be with him and to be in his presence. And it's in the presence of the King that the supernatural happens. Whether big or small, it could just be you're struggling with an attitude and you need to exchange that for a mindset of Christ. It could be fear that's gripping you in some area and you need to exchange it for more faith to trust God. It could be a doubt or a discouragement because God is not working the way that you have prayed and begged him and thought he would work. And you need to exchange that for a renewed hope and a renewed joy. Maybe there's a disappointment you have. You need to exchange it for a peace that passes understanding. Maybe there's sin in your life and you need to exchange for freedom from guilt and shame. Isaiah 61 tells us that Jesus came. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to comfort and console those who mourn, to give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So you might be thinking, well, how do I experience this, Denise? Like I said, it's a supernatural work. It happens in the presence of the King. Our part is to let him. It's to hand over and then receive from him. We have to ask him and depend on him and his word and his love for us and trust him, because the more we love him, the more we're going to trust him, the more we're going to surrender and yield our lives over to him. It makes me think of some lyrics to a song called The Great Exchange. It says, when I'm tired, you say, come in. When I'm weak, you say, I win. When I can't go on and all my strength is gone, you say, let's begin again. When I say, I've done all that I can, when I can't find my way to your plan, when I've lost my sight or I give up the fight, I feel you take my hand. You call me when I'm not. You tell me who I am. This is the song I've learned to sing. For here the great exchange, it happens once again. Here in the presence of the King. And girls, sometimes those deal exchanges happen like that, don't they? We're praying, we're in the word, we feel it, there's a change, a shift, and we know it. Sometimes it takes a long time because we're distracted and we are fearful, or maybe we're just stubborn, we want our own way, we're holding on. But God is so faithful because he loves us and he's persistent in his love. Reminds me of the story of the little girl with the pearls. She was about 5 years old. She's shopping with mommy in the store, and she sees these pearls in the toy section, and she begs mommy for the pearls. Well, of course, mommy buys her the pearls. They were only a few dollars. And this little girl puts on these pearls, and she just loves them. Like she wears them day and night and night and day. It's her prized possession. Well, one night when her daddy came to tuck her in and say goodnight, he asked her if she loved him. She said, yes, daddy, you know I love you. He says, well, will you give me the pearls? Oh, no, daddy, not the pearls. You can have the doll. You can have the Play-Doh, not the pearls. He's like, okay, I love you. He hugs her, kisses her, tells her goodnight. Well, he does this a few more times in the evening. It's the same conversation. Daddy, you know I love you, but not the pearls. You can't have anything else but the pearls. No, thank you. Okay, I love you. Kisses her goodnight. Well, one night he goes in to tuck her to bed, and she's crying. She's sitting on the bed sobbing. He's like, honey, what's wrong? She's like, Daddy, I love you. And then she takes her hand out. She goes, you can have my pearls. And then with a smile on his face and tears in his eyes, he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out this beautiful velvet case. And he exchanges her fake imitation pearls for these genuine pearls of great price. You see, he had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to trust his love enough that she would surrender what she thought was so priceless. How often are we like that little girl? We are just holding on so tightly to things and people and dreams and ambition or liberties or whatever. Just hanging on to our own life, our own way, our own will. And we see it as so valuable. It's like our prized possession. When instead if we would trust God's love and just let go, then we would receive in exchange from him far better things of far more worth and value, and Jesus himself being the most valuable of all. Look, girls, we need to lay down all lesser things for greater gain. We need to come to that place of trust and love where we can freely say, all of me to gain all of you. So in closing, I want to encourage, first of all, that we not lose the wonder of this divine exchange and all that Jesus has done for us and all the promises that are ours to be had that enable us to walk in the fullness of life that he really wants us to experience. I encourage you, make sure you thank him this Christmas, that you take the time to thank him. Second of all, if there's something you have been holding on to that you sense the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to open up your hand and just trust him and release that and give it to Jesus in exchange for something of greater value and blessing. I just pray that in these final moments that you will just respond to the Holy Spirit and that you will say yes. And give that over to him, because girls, perfect love casts out fear. So the more you get to know him and his love for you, the less fearful you will be to make that exchange. And then for some of you, maybe this Christmas you are lacking joy. You're lacking peace or hope. I think a lot of times the holidays just bring grief to the surface because we have loved ones that are no longer with us. And so it just triggers a well of all of that. Sometimes holidays are just that reminder that we have broken, dysfunctional families. And that's hard. It's hard. Some of you just feel lonely this time of year. May I encourage you to fix your gaze upon Jesus? He gave everything in exchange for you. He's worthy of our celebration of his birth. Amen? Every day in him. Enjoy the joy that's yours to be had. And the good news, girls, in closing too, is that there is still a day coming soon when we will all experience one final exchange from this temporary dwelling place to eternity with Christ. Yes, woo, amen, right? Fully transformed into his image. It's all things are made new. It's wonderful. And when he's revealed, John tells us that we will be like him, for we shall see him like he is. If you're here tonight and you have never received the gift of salvation, this could be the night. And you will know, because your heart's just like palpitating, like you have that conviction. And I just want to encourage you that as I pray that you would make that step of faith in your heart and say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, that God sent you to earth in human form. You lived, you died, you rose again, that I could have life, that I could be forgiven. And if you believe it, ask him and you'll receive him into your life. And just like that, it's supernatural. The transformation takes place. The exchange takes place. The transformation takes time. The exchange happens immediately. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And this Christmas, we just say thank you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. thank you that we've gone from death to life, that you've given us purpose, that you love us and you have a plan for us, and that you're with us, Lord, here on earth and all into eternity. And so, Lord, we praise you. You're worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving and our worship. And, Lord, I do pray if there is anybody in this room that needs to ask you into their life and receive that gift, that they in faith would just do that now. And, Lord, that they would go from death to life, Lord, into this new relationship, a new birth, a divine nature, and that they would be born again. For all my sisters here, Lord, I just pray that tonight's message encouraged their heart, because you're so good. And Lord, if there is that specific thing that we need to let go of and yield to you and surrender, Lord, that we might in exchange get something far better, Lord, help us. Help us to be brave girls and to do that, Lord, because you love us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and still what you're about to do. And so all of us to gain all of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Denise. That was beautiful. You know, sometimes when we hear a message like that, many messages, you know, we think, does that really translate? Is it work in real life? And obviously, Denise shared a few excerpts into hers. But then you can hear those truths and those encouragements, and you could think, well, that's good for her, but she doesn't know my story. She doesn't know where I'm at and what my life circumstances are and what I'm going through. But Jesus knows, and he sees. And like Denise was saying, he knows everything, and he still made the most beautiful way. And there's a value in us sharing our stories. So in the next just few minutes, we're going to have some gals, and they're going to come out, and they're very brave and very courageous to do this. And I just want everyone to be really still and to just listen, because they're going to share a little part of their story of their exchange. And you might hear yourself in some of their stories, and you might not be so alone in where you're at and what you're going through. And like Denise was saying, it's for everybody and for everyone, and he's done it for us all. So just enjoy hearing from your sisters.
Good evening, ladies. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Judy Belowing. The divine exchange in my life is trust for worry, anxiety, and depression. Before Jesus, I would worry about almost everything, and it would build anxious thoughts that would keep me from being productive and from living my life to the fullest. It was a vicious cycle that led me to depression. Then I gave my life to Jesus, and an intimate relationship with my Jesus was born. He is my Savior, my rescuer, my promise keeper, my healer, my helper, and my Jesus, the one in whom I trust. In my walk with him, in prayer, reading the Bible, Jesus helps me to trust in him with all my heart. He continually shows me that I can fully trust him. Even when the outcome of my situation ends badly, I know Jesus is with me. He is in control. It's for his good purpose. It's for his glory. And it gives me great comfort. Today, I no longer have depression. Yes, I do worry, and I may become anxious. But when I give it to my Jesus and trust in him, the duration of my anxiety is short. It is no longer hours, days, weeks, months, nor years. It's only brief moments. My Jesus healed me of depression, and he continues to do his good work in me for his glory. Ladies, I invite you to put your trust in Jesus. Please know, Jesus loves you very much. In Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Merry Christmas.
My name is Jeanette Moraga, and my divine exchange is peace for bitterness. I accepted the Lord into my life at about 25 years of age when I was in college. I was at a low point in my life, and I was looking for something, for someone to care about me, and I was lost. This woman came to me and asked if I knew Jesus. She led me to the Lord, and I was on fire for God. Nothing was more important to me then. I struggled a lot throughout my years in my relationship with God. I wanted to trust him. I thought he loved me. I thought he would give me what I desired. But no, I was still bitter with so many disappointments. Even as I was denying the Lord, the Holy Spirit was with me. I felt his presence, and he was not going to let me go. Little did I realize he was always walking by my side, holding my hand, and often carrying me. One day, I just stopped running. I let go, and I laid all my burdens before him and asked for forgiveness. He set me free. He began to give me my joy back. I found my Father in heaven, the Elroy I, the Father who sees me. I asked, I prayed, "Lord, what do you want of me? I don't feel worthy, and I have nothing to offer but my love to serve you." He said, "I hear you, Jeanette. I see you, and I love you. Seek me, and the doors will open. Follow me, and I will show you the path, because I know you." Psalm 116:1-2, "I love the Lord because he has heard my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live." Thank you.
Good evening, ladies. My name is Erin Dela Cruz. I want to share a scripture that the Lord placed on my heart as I examine the divine exchange in my life. In Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 16, Zion is symbolic of Israel, God's dwelling place. The scripture reads, "But the city of Zion said, 'The Lord has deserted me. The Lord has forgotten me.' The Lord answers, 'Can a mother forget the baby who is nursing at her breast? Can she stop having tender love for the child that was born to her? She might forget her child, but I will not forget you. I have written your name on the palm of my hands.'" This serves as assurance, ladies, that though we may forsake him, God will never forsake us. The divine exchange in my life continues to be abandonment for adoption into the family of Christ. My parents divorced early in their marriage. I endured an ugly custody battle consisting of back and forth visitation, falling victim to my mother's manic, undiagnosed episodes of hostility and severe depression, enter feelings of abandonment. My dad was also in the Navy, out to sea often. This also contributed to feelings of abandonment. Now living with a resentful stepmom who eventually also left. I remember being 8 years old, now living with the wife of one of my dad's shipmates. I hit my head and I needed stitches. The Naval Hospital wouldn't stitch me up without a guardian. Dad was out to sea, stepmom out of the picture now, and a mom who wouldn't drive down to San Diego. Growing up, I felt like I related to Zion, feeling forgotten, unimportant. not knowing the love of the Lord until I myself became a mother. Enter redemption. Finally, I was able to see that the Lord wanted me and was pursuing me through the very thing that constantly left me feeling abandoned, motherhood. I have three boys, and the redemptive refining has been constant and beautiful. I have been adopted into the family of Christ. I am chosen, and I will never be abandoned by my Father in heaven. He has provided spiritual mothers, sisters, and brothers, and together, we win battles here on earth. My encouragement to those who have been in or are currently walking through similar situations is to know that man will let us down, or woman will let us down, as we let them down. This is why Jesus died on the cross, knowing how imperfect that we would be. God will provide protection over your life as he has mine, and in his perfect time, use all that you have endured to encourage another. Your testimony is a weapon, ladies, a weapon for battle. May God bless you.
Hi, everyone. I'm a newer face around here, so if I haven't got the chance to meet you, I would love to. My name is Kennedy Shea, and my exchange is Mourning for Dancing. The scripture that the Lord put on my heart tonight was Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Like I said, I'm a newer face around here, so prior coming to Calvary Vista, my home church was Reliance in Temecula. There I grew in the first circle I've had of godly women. Deep relationships that were reconciled from middle school and high school, but the Lord made it clear when there was an opportunity to join the high school ministry here that it was time to go. I moved to Vista a month before returning to my senior year at college at UC Irvine. So with new relationships, not being home, and becoming more isolated at school, I began to mourn my position at Reliance and my friendships there. I didn't have deep relationships here yet, which added to a further feeling of isolation, and it began to look like doubt. It took intentional calling to mind that the Lord has called, and therefore he will follow through. This verse was highlighted to me first for a student, but quickly I found that there was a deep sense of freedom waiting for me. Choosing the Lord as my portion in my isolation gave me freedom in reminding me that the Lord holds my lot. The fencing of my life is his. He maintains what he has given, and the lines have fallen in pleasant places. The Lord has since gifted me with friendships here and relationships that I was longing for. And so the Lord has turned my mourning into dancing and freedom.
Hi, ladies. Good evening. My name is Rita Hiller, and I'm here to share the divine exchange, restoration from temporary affliction. My scripture reference is 1 Peter 5:10. As a new believer, I long to hear the voice of God. God, who is all-knowing, knew my deepest longing. As I read his word, I heard him speak to my heart. Rita, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's John 16:33. Our Heavenly Father was preparing my heart for things to come. I was young in age, young in faith, and a new bride. The trials and tribulations that come with a new marriage, learning to live with a total stranger, and adjusting to a new role as a wife, is a challenge for any newlywed. In my story, the man I vowed to love, honor, cherish, unto death do us part, struggled with addiction. The trials and all the craziness that goes along with addiction was not something I was able to handle on my own. God's divine wisdom and strength sustained me during this season of my life. And 1 Peter states, God and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ,
after you have suffered for just a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I would remind myself, the trial is just for a little while. God sustained our marriage for 24 years until my late husband was called home. After his passing, there was much to process. The Lord spoke to me again, I will restore your soul, in Psalm 23. I share these verses because I love that our Savior, the creator of the universe, will himself restore. He has restored me, and he will restore you. There are seasons when the Lord has to use a little sandpaper to smooth out rough edges, and sometimes he has to chip away the crud to reshape us, to make us better fit for his purposes. May I encourage you tonight to trust him, to rest in him, to believe in him. He's a good, good father. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Hi, ladies. My name is Dee Dee Wills, and my divine exchange is Hope for Fear. And the verse I stand on is Joshua 1:9, which says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Fear for me looked like worrying about the future, about my family, about people knowing the real me, and that I wouldn't be accepted for who I was. Fear became overwhelming, and that's when the Lord showed me that it didn't have to be this way. I didn't have to be fearful. And that began my journey to hope. Through digging deeper in God's word, intentional relationship with him, and being in community with my sisters, God showed me there is hope. He became my hope. Those fears that I once had are no longer, because now I look to my Heavenly Father for who I am, and he says, I'm worthy. I'm accepted just as I am, flaws and all. Hope became so evident in my life once I took my eyes off of people and placed them on Jesus. But don't get me wrong, life isn't always perfect. Fear still rises up, but I use it as a reminder to turn my eyes back to Jesus and remember what he's already said to me. I am worthy. I'm accepted. And I belong in the rooms that I'm in. As a matter of fact, as I was preparing for this, fear started to creep in. And honestly, I wanted to back out a few times. But God reminded me, I belong in this room. And my hope is that if by telling my story, I have helped one woman be more comfortable in this room and feel accepted, then the fruit of my hope is here. Because my heart's desire is that all women know that they belong in the rooms they're in, and they are accepted just as they are. Thank you for letting me share my divine exchange of hope for fear. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, ladies. Give them another round. That was very courageous. And you know, that was just six ladies. We could, if we were staying here all night, which we're not, we could go through all these sections, and one by one we could stand and say, I was this and I exchanged it for this. I was that and I exchanged it for this. So we're going to take just a moment. Amanda's going to do a song, and Denise gave us some good encouragements, and we don't want to miss the moment. She was telling us we're in the presence of the King. So for some of you, this moment is going to be the gratitude moment that she incurred just in. You know, we fully understand
the goodness and the fullness of that divine exchange, and we walk in and love it, and just it's permeating our life. But maybe we've taken it for granted, and we haven't been so grateful for it. And maybe you're like, oh, just give me one more moment to say thank you, Jesus. I'm all about that. So maybe this moment is your gratitude moment. Maybe for some of you, this moment is the grace moment of, I know the truths. I know the promises. I know I've been given nature and power. But somewhere along the way, I've started maybe putting on the clothes of the world and trying to exchange the things that the world seems to dangle before us. And it's kind of fallen a little short. I love the story Denise told about the pearls. We're clutching the fake pearls instead of embracing the authentic. And for some of you, it is that moment that she invited you to at the end. You've been listening tonight and you're like, I want that life. I think I've been in pursuit of that life, and what she's telling us, what these gals are sharing, happened when they believed and received Jesus and accepted that divine exchange, that free gift. So as Amanda sings, this is your private moment, just between you and the Lord. It's gratitude. It's grace. It's the beginning of a new life. It can be that for you. If that's you, just in your heart, you just pray, Lord, forgive me. I believe, I receive. And like Denise said, it's instantaneous. It's a moment, and we don't want to miss it. So just enjoy it.
You crucified all my sin and shame. It was washed by your mercy. And you are the treasure I find, my reason for living. So let my life become an offering to the one who is worthy. Jesus Christ, High King of Heaven.
our good King forever. And what a blessing the evening has been, the message from Denise. Her life is such a testament. We're looking for her right now. Where is she? Oh, okay, she's in the back. Sorry, Denise. Your life is such a testament. Just the daily exchange for who we are and our brokenness and our flaws and the things that we come to the Lord with and say, here it is. And He gives what we do not deserve, but what is ours. Amen. Amen. And Denise, your life has been a beautiful, beautiful example of that. Thank you for the message.
Okay, we do have one special moment. Come on. I know. You can beat me up later. You're in the middle. So for those of you who may not know, Denise has been our senior pastor's wife for 30 years here at Calvary Vista. And the Lord is moving and doing some exciting things. And so she, after this week, will be moving into a new chapter of God's exciting adventures for her. And Christy's coming on with Jason. Yeah, we're excited. And you know, I'm gonna have Stacy come up. She wants to share a few words, and then I'll just wrap it up. But I know, don't be mad at us. We love you.
Oh, Denise, no words. There are no words that would suffice or be adequate enough for us to express how much we love you, you mean to us, how grateful, thankful, blessed we are for all the sacrificial love, time, care, attention you've given to so many of us throughout all these years and to the women's ministry here at Calvary Vista. You are the pinnacle of the Proverbs 31 woman to us. And in the end of Proverbs 31, the culmination of the Proverbs, it says, "A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." And Denise, you have faithfully feared the Lord and answered His call all these years. You have given us so much more than just your encouraging words. You've given us your actions, your works. You are not afraid to trudge through the trenches with us. I am a testament to that. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty and get down on her knees and just like power through with you. You are such a beautiful example to us all of that. This is the fruit of your hands. This is the legacy that you have built up and poured into and are passing on to generations and generations and generations to come. And so many of these beautiful women have contributed to a basket full of treasures for you. There are so many gems in there, so many, so many. And like so many cards and notes. And I think it's going to take you a year to read all of it. But hopefully you'll have time now to do that. So we love you so much. And Marla made these beautiful bouquets, one for you and also one for our beautiful Yvonne, who will also be leaving us, or retiring, I should say. And so we love you ladies so much, and we are going to miss you dearly and deeply. However, we are so excited to see the new season that the Lord brings you through, and we know that you'll be around, and we'll still be able to pull that wisdom out from you. So,
thank you.
Okay, I just want to pray over you girls. God, I just thank you so much for Denise and Yvonne, and Lord, the blessing that they have been to so many of our lives for so long, and the blessing that they will continue to be as well. And God, I just pray that during this new season that we're all stepping into, God, would we feel your hand wrapped around us and upon us? And God, it is such a beautiful thing to walk in the confidence that we follow you, that, God, you leave your breadcrumbs for us of your word, of your voice, of your leading, of your guiding. God, I pray that you would pour your spirit out upon these two precious servants. And God, would you lead them into the new season that you have for them? Would they hear your voice more clearly, more direct? God, would you continue to use them to pour into so many lives? I just keep thinking about my favorite moment with Denise was when we had just moved into a new house and I didn't know how we were going to sleep that night. And she showed up with a power drill and just saved our lives that night as we all slept in beds. And God, I just know that you've gifted them in so many different ways, on stage, in church, in women's ministry, and also with power drills and the gift of helps and so many different things, God. And I just pray that you would continue to lead and guide and make beauty and glory for you from their lives as you have for years. We thank you, God, for who they are and how you've used them to bless our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.